right, I need some help. I'm old. Where did we leave Tiki? He was in the submarine, but what happened? They came up in the surface, and what happened to him?
Oh, and a big old ship coming.
Big old ship coming right toward him. And if you remember, the pilot had dropped back down. He closed the hatch. First thing he did was he hit the throttle to make the sub go straight. But then he also grabbed the steering wheel and turned it this way. And he did it just in time. The front of the ship is a big old cargo ship. Has like almost like a big ball on the end of it. And it pushes out a wave in front of it. A huge wave. And that wave got a hold of the submarine and twisted it this way. And the rear end kicked around and put the nose right into the side of the ship. And it went boom, boom, boom down the side of the ship. And inside, Tiki's hanging on. He's going, whoa, whoa, whoa. And the noise was incredible. The booms and the bangs against the ship. And then all of a sudden, it stopped. It got perfectly still. Submarine was bobbing on the surface. The pilot looked out. He didn't see anything. He opened the hatch very slowly this time. And all there was sea. It was calm. It was as smooth as glass. You could see the stars, but nothing else. And all of a sudden, he realized, Tiki, we are lost. Tiki goes, well, what can we do? He said, well, I've got a strobe light. We can try that. And I've got some flares. We can shoot those. But hang on. He said, what are we going to do? He said, I've got to get us lined up north and south. And so he lined the submarine up north and south to give some direction. And he said, okay, now we're gonna put this light up on top. And there was it was a strobe, and it was very bright. And it went, choom, 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 the light just going out. And it could be seen for miles and miles. But what neither of them knew was that the mothership that the sub had come from had been looking for them all day and all night. The radio was knocked out and the batteries were taken out. There was no way to communicate with the ship. The ship was trying, but nobody could hear them. And all over the ship, they posted lookouts to see if they could see anything. And finally, one of the lookouts, he said, I think I see a light. And way off in the distance, it looked like it was just from here to the end of the road, but it was a lot farther on the ocean. Light travels a long way. Was a little light going. And he said, over there, off to the west, there's a light. And they found it. And on their radar, they could just barely make out a little blip on top of the water from the conning tower of the submarine. And off they went to rescue them. Tiki had never been so glad to be on a big boat in his life. The last time he thought he was that happy was when he went fishing. But this time, they went fishing and caught a tiki, didn't they? And they were rescued. Are you glad? Wait till the next thing. You're not going to believe what happens next. I hope you're planning to stay after service today. We're going to have a fellowship just because. One of the things that around here is we manage to like each other. And we like being around. Well, hey, Debbie. Debbie snuck in the back. He must have hid behind Faye where it's my vision, but I just saw you. And we're glad that you're here. But we love the fellowship. Fellowship is an important part. You know, this world is not our friend, amen?
Amen.
And the men, we were sitting around talking about there's just something special about being together with God's people. Brian, I think, put it perfectly. He said there's a peace here when you're with one another. And part of the process, the early church, they just didn't do church in the sense of having the organized services. They fellowshiped. And what happened is that built one another up. That world out there, last week or this coming week, is going to beat us up. But thank God we've got brothers and sisters in a place we can come and fellowship with one another. Amen?
Amen.
And so please plan on staying for that. If you look around and you see somebody missing that hadn't been here for a while, give them a phone call. contact them. Send them a Facebook message. Tell them you're thinking about them. I'm trying to do that myself, but sometimes it helps if somebody besides the preacher touches base with them. And so why don't you try to do that this coming week and let somebody know that they were missed. You may never know what's going on in their lives. They may be facing trouble. You just don't know. But pray for one another and plan on staying for our fellowship. Now this morning I get to share one of my favorite Bible stories. And it is, I would not say it's in the top 10. I'd say it's in the top 3. So if you take your Bibles, turn with me to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Now, I've always been fascinated by strange things, I guess. And you say, well, that's no surprise. You're kind of strange, Chip. It's all right. You asked me to be your pastor. What's that say about you? Nanny boo-boo. I love you, guys. But I can't picture myself intentionally. Now, Connie Sue can tell you, I've got very sensitive feet. And no joke. Now, if I'm barefooted, and sometimes my feet are, I say, baby, would you please rub my feet? And I go, but don't touch me there. Don't touch me there. And that's very, I mean, have you ever seen what a doctor does to do a neuro check on a patient? They do what's called a Babinski. Stick your foot up here on the pew. What they do is they get a sharp object when he's barefoot, and they run it up there to see if you react. Your Babinski tells whether or not your neurons are firing. Mine fire before something touches it, okay? They're that sensitive. Am I right?
Yeah.
Kaiser goes, I haven't touched you yet. Yeah, but you're gonna. I'm sorry. But the idea of watching people lay out hot coals and then walk across them on purpose, that freaks me out. Now, I will tell you this, that a Lego at night is straight out of the pit of hell. How many ever found one barefoot? Amen. Those are children's landmines. And I guarantee you, if you wanted to keep the burglars away or get them to holler, they want to take their shoes off and be quiet and sling you some Legos after they hit them, you're going to know they're in the house. So I can't picture myself doing this, but believe it or not, there are people that do this for fun and contest. The longest bit of coals walked on, 15 people in Chicago walked across a bed of coals 165 feet long. Why? But then they decided that wasn't enough, so another group wanted to see who could set the record for the hottest coals to walk on. And at one time, the record was 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit. They managed to break the record, but they're still crazy. Well, for years, people thought it was in mysticism and it was magic and everything. But what they found out is just physics. Because believe it or not, even in a coal, that wood is a great insulator. How many of you have got either a pot or a pan or something like that's got a wooden handle? Anybody? Anybody have one? Or had one? Yeah, they had it. What do you do when you get your fajitas and they come to the table? Do they just hand you the metal plate? What is it sitting on? Wood. So it's an insulator, even, and a great insulator, even if it's on fire, there's a layer of ash over top of it. And to get it hot, some joker had to stand there with a leaf blower and blowing on it to get it hot enough to set the record. And people take off across it. Now, you'd think running would be the thing to do. But absolutely not. They say that's worse. If you try to run, your feet dig in and they expose your feet too long. Now, I'm not telling you to go home and do this, you know, because you always got to put that out there. When I was a kid, you didn't have to say, do not try this at home, because we weren't stupid. But nowadays, I'm not saying you're stupid, okay? But nowadays, you got to put it on everything, because somebody's going to get sued, right? And so anyway, what happens, they say the best thing to do is walk at a brisk rate. You don't have to tell me that. Here would be me, you know. You'd probably walk across and go, that wasn't bad. Here's your pastor. I'd be speaking in tongues. And that's before I got to the cold, right? That's just walking on the grass. Yeah. Now, that being the case, I think it's foolish to intentionally want to go walk on fire. I'm just saying. And I think it's foolish when you have an alternative to walk into the fire. But in Daniel chapter 3, you have an incredible story. And by that I don't mean fiction. And I do think intentionally placing yourself in the fire for fun is foolish. But the truth is, if you take a stand for Christ, we will all come to places when we find ourselves in the fire. I'm not talking about necessarily literally, but literally or figuratively, a fire of affliction. And such is the case for the three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3. Now let me give you the story, what's going on here. To set the stage for you in the book of Daniel, what has happened is, from today in chapter 3, we need to go back about 20 years to explain how the three Hebrew children got here. Daniel and these three Hebrew children, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were taken away from their homes and family. They were forcibly made eunuchs and forced to serve the king of Babylon. And through the work of God and God's man Daniel, they found themselves working in the palace of King Nebuchadnezzar on the king's royal staff. And all went fairly well until the king gave a command that they could not obey. King Nebuchadnezzar made a huge golden statue, and he passed a decree that said, at the sound of the music, everyone had to bow down and worship this golden image. Well, everybody did except the three Hebrew children. Now, it's interesting that they were renamed when they came in, that you find that you had, of course, Hananiah. He became Shadrach. Then Mishael, who was basically Meshach, and then Azariah, who was Abednego. Now, there was somebody who got it mixed up, and he said there was Shadrach, Meshach, and a billy goat. But that's not quite right. But they renamed them, and each name had a significance that I got to share with you, and I'll do more of it in just a minute, but I'll just tell you basically that Hananiah, his new name, Shadrach, was after the moon god that they worshipped in the city of Babylon. And Azariah was after the god Nebo, or Nego, who was the god of wisdom. And so they were given these new names. Their Jewish names were taken away from them. They're made to serve, and they find themselves in the king's palace. The king gives the command, you must bow down. Well, the king got word that they didn't do it, so he brings them in to his presence in chapter 3. They're standing before him, and the king says, all right, we're getting ready to hit the music. When we do, you got to bow down. And if you don't, I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace. Now, this is cool. For years, folks thought this was myth, until archaeologists near Babylon found the ruins of a ceramic kiln. Do you know what a kiln is? A kiln is a furnace used to fire ceramic tiles. One of the things of Babylon is it had beautiful colored ceramic tiles throughout its buildings and its palaces. These tiles were made in a kiln that was basically a wood-fired giant furnace. And the way it was designed, there was an opening, much like a pizza oven on steroids. It was probably larger than this room. And that opening, you would bring in the tiles and they would be set. And then down in the bottom section, which was down here, it kind of overlapped. It had a set of chimneys that would allow the smoke to escape, but not the heat. And a set of doors that would close against it. And they would build the fire down here, and it would be between 1100 and 1600 degrees on a normal day. But the king, after they refused to bow, commanded that the furnace be heated up, the fire built, seven times normal. Now that doesn't mean seven times 1100 degrees.
It just means the fire was bigger, seven times bigger than they would use to bake ceramic tiles. And then he ordered that the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be tied up and thrown in there. But I want you to look with me, beginning in verse 16, as the contest unfolds. Because you've got to understand the context. A contest was not between Nebuchadnezzar and the three Hebrew children. It was between the gods of Babylon and the God. Rest assured, God's people are not exempt from times in the furnace. Unfortunately, many of God's people are disillusioned, discouraged, and even defeated when they find themselves in the furnace. But we don't have to be, because I want you to see in this passage that faith and the furnace often go together. Look with me in verse 16. Let me back up just for context. In verse 15, King Nebuchadnezzar speaks. He says, "Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us out of the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." In other words, they're saying, either way, whether we die or we live, God's going to deliver us out of your hand. "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you, thanking you for the privilege of being able to open the book and share your word, God. Now, you know my heart. I don't want to be a pointless, powerless preacher. God, more than anything, I want you to show up this morning. And God, I'm asking you that as you do, God, that you would speak to hearts, that you would change lives, that God, this would be a blessing. And God, I'm asking you to use me that it would be a blessing. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. Help us to learn to trust you, God, even in the furnace of life. And God, we thank you for your mercies and grace. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Then look at verse 19 and following. "Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hoses and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know why? It was Jesus. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power. Nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. They didn't even smell like smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him. and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Amen. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Whoo! What a story. And it's true. Every word of it's true. It's not a child's tale. It's not a bedtime story. I'm telling you, this occurred. This happened. And the date was approximately 570 B.C. or thereabouts. And this occurred. This really happened. There's some lessons in here that I don't want us to miss. The first one being, sometimes God uses the furnace to promote our faith. Sometimes He uses the furnace you're going through because He wants to promote or build your faith. Are you in a furnace? Have you asked God why? I'm here to tell you, God's always got a reason. Sometimes He reveals it to us, and sometimes He says, wait, I'll tell you later. But one day we'll find out. If not today, we will find out. The Bible says, through Him, meaning Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Sometimes God wants to build your faith, so He puts you and allows you to be in the furnace. Do you think it hurt or helped Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's faith having been put in the furnace? I guarantee it built it. As a matter of fact, it even built on Nebuchadnezzar what he knew. This is not the first time that Nebuchadnezzar had been given a command out concerning the God of Israel. Because see, he did the same thing with Daniel some 20 years before. And basically said, man, that's a special God. And the problem was, for Nebuchadnezzar, it was Daniel's God, and it was the God of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, but it wasn't yet Nebuchadnezzar's God. I've got good news, folks. As you read the book, I believe that one day it became Nebuchadnezzar's God. But in order to get there, Nebuchadnezzar had to go through his own furnace. His was an emotional and mental furnace in which he had a breakdown. And the Bible says he went out and he ate grass like an animal. His fingernails grew long. He didn't bathe. And he was like a madman. And finally one day he came to himself and he realized that he wasn't a God. That there was only one true God. And that God became his God. And that's when his life changed. You want to know when your life's going to change? When other people's God becomes your God. You ought to want the God of those that love Jesus. Because He's the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Nebuchadnezzar thought he had finished the problem when he threw him in the furnace. Let me tell you something. When God's people get put in the furnace, they don't go alone. Did you hear what I just said? And that's the first thing you notice. When the king looks in, he goes, fellas, didn't we throw three people in there, tie them up, and throw them in there? They said, yes, King. He said, I'm looking in, and there's four of them, and all of them are loose. There ain't none of them tied up. Because I want you to get this, too, that oftentimes freedom comes in the furnace. You've been bound by things in your life, and God allows the furnace to bring you free from it. And it's not a friendly, fine, fun thing to go through. But in your life, you may go through a furnace in order for God to really set you free. Did you hear me? Yeah. So sometimes we are in the furnace in order to have our faith built up or promoted. Sometimes we are in the furnace to have our faith purified. The Bible says that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perished, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Peter likens it to gold. Now, I've never done this,
But I decided I was going to watch a video on it and also watch the History Channel, a couple things on gold, refining gold. Do you know how you get pure gold? You put it in the fire. And what happens is, through a process of heating, dross, all the trash in it comes up and it is scooped off. And through reheating and that process, the trash is scooped off. And guess what you have left? The pure gold. And sometimes God allows you and me to go in the furnace, not because He hates us, but because He wants to make us better. I don't know about you, but I want to get closer to Him. And I'm here to tell you, I know personally that there are times where God has put me in the furnace and I've asked God why, but He knew I needed it because there were some things in my life that needed to be cleaned out. And when you get in the furnace, you find out that there are other things more important in this life. Amen? So the three Hebrew children are in there. They had faith when they went in, but I guarantee you, they had a pure faith when they came out. But sometimes God uses the faith, the furnace to perfect our faith. What do I mean by that? Anybody got any idea when we'll have perfect faith? Heaven. I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen carefully. Sometimes we go in the furnace and we don't come out here. You hear what I just said? Sometimes we go in the furnace, but we don't come out here. What do I mean? You die. Not everybody goes in the furnace, comes out here. You don't believe it? In the book of Hebrews, it talks about the heroes of the faith. It speaks of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've been studying that, by the way, on Wednesday night at 6:30, talking about world changers. We haven't got that far yet. But it says of them, they quenched the violence of fire. Who are they talking about? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But then it goes down further and speaks of others who that didn't happen, who they died. But it puts their faith as high as the other's faith. Because you see, sometimes what God does in the furnace is, He says, I'm going to take you home. And either way, let me tell you something, you come out of a furnace a winner. Either way. Oh, well, I know we have our druthers. I'd rather when I go in the furnace, know I'm coming out and I'm going to be alive. But I'm here to tell you, for the child of the King, you never die. Oh, your body does, but your spirit doesn't. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Sometimes God uses the furnace to perfect our faith. In Revelation, Jesus was speaking to a persecuted church, and He said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried." And that meant tried and executed, by the way. "And you shall have tribulation 10 days. But here's what He said. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Let me back it up. Be thou faithful until God takes you out of the furnace. No, that's not what it said. Be faithful until God makes you feel better. That's not what it said. God said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." But I want you to notice that the bonds were broken in the furnace. And one day, Miss Ella, one day, you and I are going to put off this body. And when that happens, what's going to happen is, you and me are going to be set free. Do you hear me? You ever have a bad week, Miss Ella? You'll never have another. Never have another bad. You ever have trouble breathing? Not up yonder. Because you and I will be set free. Let me see you, Cain. Let me see you, Cain. When you leave here, you're going to need this? You're going to leave it. You won't need it, will you?
No.
You and me run a foot race, won't we? Yeah, because see, I told folks, Miss Ella, I'm not built for speed, I'm built for homecoming, amen? Yeah,
Yeah. And one day, you and I, we may go through the furnace, but I'm telling you, I've read the book, and we come out victorious on the other side. Amen?
Yeah.
Then why do we walk around like we're on the losing team most of the time? Why do we walk around like we're always in the furnace when we're not? It's about time that God's people, when we look around, as a matter of fact, Jesus pointed to the conditions around us, and he said, when you see these things come to pass, what things? Wars and rumors of war, earthquakes in diverse places, famines, pestilence, you see all this stuff around us, the society breaking down. Here's what Jesus said to the child of the king. He said, man, lift up your head. Your redemption draws nigh. I'm coming to get you. You're in the furnace. It's hot. I'm telling you, I'm coming to get you. And that's what I like. And there's a lot of takeaways from this, but I just want to give you a few. In this world, takeaway number one, pressure to compromise is going to be strong. Your convictions must be stronger and based upon God's word. You see, the children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were acting on faith. Do you know what the book of Exodus chapter 20 said? Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. You will not make them, and you will not bow down to them. And they were going back and how they were raised and how they were trained. Parents, let me encourage you. Bible says, train up a child the way it should go, and the old will not depart from it. Doesn't mean you've got a guarantee they're going to be saved, but they're not going to forget what you taught them. It'll come back to them. And many times they'll come back to the Lord. It'll come back to them because you taught them. And I want you to understand something, that there's pressure in this world to compromise. Young ladies, I want to encourage you. Young men, I want to encourage you. Don't compromise. Stand for something or you'll fall for everything. Don't compromise. This world wants you to sell out cheap. But then it'll chew you up and spit you out. It doesn't care about you as people. And I'm telling you what, you've got a God in heaven that cares about you, girls. It's got a God in heaven that cares about you, Hunter, and other fellas. There's a God in heaven that cares about you. So takeaway number one is the pressure is going to be strong to compromise, but don't do it. Number two, remember who you belong to. The world will try to remake you and repackage you. It's interesting that three Hebrew children, when they arrived in Babylon, instantly Babylon tried to repackage them. The first one was named Hananiah. That means God has favored me. And they changed his name to Shadrach, favor of the moon god. Mishael, which means who is like the Lord. And they called him Meshach. I'll get there in a minute. Then Azariah, his name meant helped by God. Let me ask you something. Do you think God favored Hananiah? Say yes. Do you think that Azariah was helped by God? Say yes. But poor old Meshach. His name in Hebrew means who is like the Lord. And when they gave him a new name, it meant nothing. You know why? There's no one like the Lord. Did you hear me? I'm going to go through that again so you'll get it. If you go down through the list and you look at Hananiah, his name, Hananiah's name, it meant God has favored me. Mishael, who is like God. Azariah, helped by God. Oh, the Babylonians changed Hananiah, God is favored, to God of the moon, favored by the moon god. To Azariah, changed him to the servant of Nego or Nebo, the god of wisdom. But in the middle, they took who is like God, and they couldn't figure out a name for him. You know why? There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Would you get a hold of that? There is no one like our God. Get that. And when you're in the furnace, remember it. See, the world may repackage you, but you know whose you are. You know who you belong to. And you need to remember who you belong to. The third thing I want you to remember from this lesson is the Lord always meets His people in the furnace. As a matter of fact, sometimes the most intimate fellowship is in the furnace. It's amazing to me that scattered throughout the Old Testament, there are few people who got to meet Jesus before He was born as a child and came here. Joshua was out one day scouting out Jericho. Man, it was a rough place. And on his way, he encountered somebody standing right in front of him who had a sword belt on standing. And Joshua, he says to him, "Are you for us or against us?" He basically said, "Joshua, I'm the captain of the Lord's host." Guess who he was seeing? You know who King of Kings is and the captain of the Lord's host is? It's Jesus. He ran into Jesus and he fell on his face. Sometimes before you go into the furnace, God gets you ready for the furnace. Remember that. I know Christians who say, "Well, I don't know if I can make it if this happened or that happened." I'm here to tell you, God is faithful and He will prepare His children for the furnace. Maybe myself or you, somebody here, is getting ready to go in the furnace. I want you to know that God is already prepared for that. How bad can the furnace get? 7 times hotter than you can imagine. 7 times harder. 7 times worse. But I'm telling you, the Lord always meets His people in the furnace. And so what you have here, it's interesting. It's interesting, you have the three Hebrew children. They're up, they're free. Now remember, who tied them up was the strongest men in the army. They tied them secure. These guys were used to taking hostages. They knew how to hogtie folks. And they hogtied, basically, the three Hebrew children and chucked them in the fire and died in the process because it was so hot. And all they had, the king looked in, he found out they're free. And not only that, there was a fourth man in the fire. I want you to know, regardless of where your furnace is and what you go through, you will not go alone. Did you hear me? You will not go alone. Some of you have been through stuff and you understand the furnace and you're going through stuff and you get the furnace. Others have not been there. You don't get it. You haven't been yet. But I want you to remember this word. When you get to the furnace and you go in the furnace and you go through the furnace, you won't go alone. Yeah. Fourth, believe God's word in spite of the furnace. It's interesting. 100 years before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were ever born, Isaiah penned these words. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." When you are in the furnace, you can believe God's word in spite of how hot it is. Because God is prepared. Fifth, even if the furnace kills the body, it can't take our life. Jesus said, "I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. For my Father has given them to me and He is more powerful than anyone else. No one can snatch them from the Father's hands." In Romans 8 it says, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries for about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Number six, others are impacted for Christ when we are in the furnace. Did it affect Nebuchadnezzar? Yes. And finally, and this is hard to swallow, we are always better after the furnace. Look in verses 29 and 30. And I'll leave you with that thought. Look in verses 29 and 30 again, please. Nebuchadnezzar made a decree. "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Verse 30. "Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." I want you to understand,
The promotion often comes after the furnace. Are you going through the furnace now? Then you should expect a promotion. Hey, here, there, or in the air, God is faithful. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed, your eyes closed? No one looking around. I wonder this morning in this auditorium if there's somebody here that's been in the furnace before or is in the furnace now. Would you raise your hand? You've been in the furnace. You know what we're talking about. Amen. 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 All over the house. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Then what I want you to do is I want you to pray for others who are in the furnace. Sometimes the furnace comes with a name like Irma or Harvey. Sometimes it comes with the name cancer. Sometimes it comes with other names, but I'm here to tell you it's just as much a furnace. But I don't want you to ever forget this. If you take anything away from this, do not miss this. God is faithful in the furnace. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Father, I want to pray for those that raise their hand. They've either been in the furnace or are going into the furnace or in the furnace or coming out. God, they understand what we're talking about today. That life is not always laughs and smiles and giggles, God. Sometimes it's fire, flame, and pain. And God, I'm asking you that you would help us to be found faithful in the furnace. That God, though the world tells us compromise, God will stand for your word and say, no, you throw me in the furnace, but I am not going to bow down. I am not going to abandon my God. I am not going to abandon his word. And I'm not going to abandon my Savior. And Father, I pray that you would give grace that we would follow through with that. Before we finish this prayer, while no one's looking around, if you're here and you're in the furnace now and you just want to be remembered in prayer, God knows what your furnace is. Would you slip your hand up, put it right back down? God bless you. 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 All over the house. Then I want to invite you to do this. Would you come and just kneel and tell God, God, I'm trusting you in this furnace. I'm trusting you in the furnace. Father, I pray for these that raised their hand that said they're in the furnace now, and that you would give them the courage to step out and come before you, God, and say, God, I'm trusting you in this furnace. God, I can't do it. I can't make it. I am too weak. I am too broken. I cannot do it. God, if I'm going to be saved in this furnace, you're going to have to do it. I can't save myself. I can't fix myself. I can't fix the circumstances. I can't correct it. God, only you can. And I come before you and I say, God, I give myself to you new and afresh. God, I give myself to you in the furnace. If that's you, and you've given yourself to him again, and then you're in the furnace, why don't you slip out and come and just kneel and say, God, I give you me new and afresh. I give you me new and afresh. You can do it even right where you're standing. Would you just raise your hand and say, God, I give you me new and afresh. I give you me new and afresh. I'm in the furnace, God, but I give you me. As others come, you need to come. You're in the furnace right now, and you need to come and say, God, I give you me new and afresh. Oh, God, do with me as you will in the furnace. I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. How I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer and drawn to thee. Oh, my friend, as you come, as you come this morning, as you come and pray with others, why don't you come and say, oh God, I'm in the furnace. And I'm going to trust you, God. one of my favorite Christian songs is "He is Faithful" by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. He is faithful and true. Everything He's promised, He will do. Our God is faithful and true.
Nebuchadnezzar spoke, and he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Thank God for His faithfulness. If you want to thank Him for His faithfulness today, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed. Bless you. Stay and eat with us, please.